Roll call, please.
Virgil?
Here.
John?
Here.
Laura? Larry?
Here.
Pam?
Here.
Brett?
Here.
Jim?
Here.
Okay, do we have a flag?
In our hearts.
Well, I think there's one that direction.
Okay, let's go. Well, there's one that direction. It's a fire.
Fire.
Oh,
fire.
Right.
Fire. Oh,
there.
Fire.
Opportunity for all of us
as residents repeat.
I believe August 6th.
When's
our next meeting?
August 20th.
Right. That would be the next, and this is a standing
item. And it's not at the Highlands, it's at the courthouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there'll be one in September, or maybe multiple in September. It'll go on and on. This is a rolling item.
Okay.
Yeah, the master plan we've been working on for, this is no secret, this is not hidden. We've been working on this for...
No, but this particular grain of sand in the giant sandbox that is the master plan has never, as far as I know,
it's not on the master plan.
You know what?
Okay,
I
well, you know what?
That's
wrong.
Wrong.
We don't read the master plan every month.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll get to this. Let's just go with the meeting
okay,
here.
Thanks.
Okay, yeah. I understand that. That's something that in the future, this is something we're not going to pass tonight. I'm not going to vote on tonight, so... You know, we're looking for input. That's exactly what.
And we're going to be discussing the rest of the master plan as well, not
yeah,
just that
yeah,
item.
Yeah, and
that's
you know,
just the item of interest.
Exactly.
That's why we're here, though, I think, specifically to discuss that.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, you're here to talk
yeah.
about
Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So, wait, am I to understand that is in the master plan and
folks, we'll get to that, okay? We need to take care of a little bit of house cleaning, you know,
well,
get the meeting going.
Yeah, let's talk to you.
And you'll have plenty of time to comment.
I left the meeting to come here specifically for that meeting. So.
Okay,
so
well, we've moved
right
up on the agenda. So
we have other items on the agenda.
We moved up first, so you need to go. And it's just going to take a couple moments here.
Okay.
We have a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll amend my motion to move item 9 ahead of item 7.
Okay.
As recommended by
Austin. Okay. Pam made the motion. John seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Okay. We're looking for approval for the minutes for May 21st. Any additions, corrections?
I would move that we accept the minutes as submitted by the secretary.
And I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay.
Do we have to state our names, Lindy, when we do these?
Yes. Because there's going to be another dispersal doing that. Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's Jim made the motion, Pam seconded?
Yes.
Thanks.
We got that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to move to item 7, which is the item that we're going to discuss here. We're going to talk about the master plan.
No, the item number 6 is the special use permit.
Right, correct.
That one we were going to do first, get the special use permit so these folks can either stay if they want to or get going.
Oh, okay.
And then the next item would be the master plan.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay.
Not a problem.
We're going to move that item 5 as well.
We did that by the improvement.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody good? Okay. All right. Item number 6, special use permit number 2015-021 by Catherine Munz?
Muse.
Okay. Very good. The applicant requesting a special use permit to construct a mother-in-law quarters attached to the existing garage, a single-family residence at 2065 Applegate Road in Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada. APN number 003-092-05.
Okay, for the record, Jason Van Abel with Story County. I prepared a staff report that I hope each of you have had the opportunity to take a look at. The subject property at that location is zoned for single-family residence, and within the zoning, mother-in-law quarters are allowed with a special use permit, so hence we have this application for the special use permit. It's going to be constructed attached to the existing structure, not a detached property, but attached to the existing structure on the other side of the garage. Now, it's presented as detached because it does not have common living quarters, but from the outside looking at the structure, it's going to be one structure with the garage in the middle. So we won't have a common living area, but structurally it's one. Staff recommendation is to approve the special use permit application. There's some attached designs in the report. And applicant. Catherine is here. And if she has any comments?
Sure, yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Sure. My name is Catherine Muse, M-U-H-S. We're positioning to get this special use permit to, like Jason said, to build a mother-in-law's quarters for my mother. My mother currently lives out of state. My husband and I have lived in our house for almost 4 years now. We love the area. We love living here. We have careers here, and I'm not in a position to move to California to take care of my mother. So I'd like to build a mother-in-law quarter. It's about 993 square feet. It contains one common area, a living area with a kitchen, a bedroom, a small study, a bathroom. It's a pretty simple design. Ultimately, at the end of the construction, if approved, it would appear as one structure. Same outside colors, design. It has been approved by the HOA already. I'm not sure what else you guys would like to know, but certainly I'm open to any other questions at this time.
A couple more comments that her mother is going to be utilizing the facility, and part of the condition of the special use permit is that it must be utilized by a family member only.
Which is not a problem at all. I don't want to see rental apartments up and all these rental people in our community. So I have no problem agreeing to that.
And you do understand about, down the road, if that's conditioned, if there's something changes, then you do need to take the water out, right? So the shower out.
Take the shower out, right?
Right.
Isn't that the requirement?
Is that the requirement? We need to...
For building code.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, can you clarify that a little bit further?
So you want to explain that?
In order for it to be a dwelling unit, there's a couple conditions that need to be in place. There needs to be a full bathroom. There needs to be area to prepare food. So if you take one of those key items out that you need to have a certificate of occupancy for a dwelling unit, if you take one of those key items out, it's not considered occupied space.
Okay.
So what you're saying is if they were to sell the structure down the road, that would have to revert back to a non...
Exactly. That's what I was trying to explain to you.
Yes. I'm sorry, let me just ask a couple questions that I understand. So the shower and the kitchen...
One or the other
would need to be disassembled and non-functioning to sell the house.
Yes.
And then it reverts back.
And we wanted you to be aware of that.
I appreciate that because I did not know one yet. So,
and if somebody that wants to buy it would want to use it for the same purpose, then they would get a special use permit.
Right.
They would just have to go through the process. It stays with you.
Exactly.
Special use permit stays with you.
It's a shower.
It requires a shower. So you can have an accessory dwelling that has a sink and a toilet for like a shop. You just can't have a shower. And that's what building code then says. It's a non-occupied space at that point.
I just wanted the applicants to be aware of what the future is in store for.
And how do you define it as non-functional? Do you actually need to tear the whole shower out there? Or you can't just cap off the...
I don't think so.
Just wanted to clarify so I follow the rules.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
And that zone is going to place just so it doesn't become a duplex.
Certainly.
Does anybody else have any questions? Okay, I'm looking for a motion.
Do we need to read the entire...
Evidently, no comments from any of the neighbors.
There was no public comment.
No. And how are we, do you want to read the motion, or?
I'm not sure what motion you would like to move forward. There's a couple of alternatives.
How much do we need to read into the minutes, I guess, is what I'm asking.
You have to read the motion, and then Jason reads the finding.
But he gets to read that part.
Sure.
So I can read, okay. So I'd like to make a motion, Pamela Smith. And start right here. Can I just say it? I just want to move to approve the special use permit. number APN-003-092-05 at 2065 Castlegate Road. Does that work?
I think you have to read the whole
motion. Number 2015. You should just read the item 6 as it is. Make a motion to approve item 6.
Right.
Read it
word for word. In accordance with recommendation, I'll start over. Town Elizabeth, again, sorry. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, the findings under section 5.1 of the staff report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Planning Commission and compliance with conditions of approval in section 6 of this report, I, Town Elizabeth, hereby recommend conditional approval of special use permit application number 2015-021 for the construction of the mother-in-law quarters located at 2065 Applegate Road, Virginia City Highlands, Broward County, Nevada, APN-003-092-95.
Thank you, Pam.
You're welcome. Sorry about that.
correction, -05. You said 95.
-05.
It says 95.
I read what it said. Yeah, oh.
This is what you sent me.
Redefining it.
Really? Okay, do we have the right, the correct?
So I read, yeah, which
I have 05 on the agenda.
I have 95
on the agenda. It's 95 on the agenda.
So it's 05?
I believe it's 05.
So many of
us. Okay. But, well.
And or 95?
Yeah, and or the one that goes with.
Probably right.
With 2065 Applegate.
Do you know which one actual number that is, Austin?
What's that? Just right up in the
back. On our motions, it's a different APN number. We're missing a digit here at 9 and 0.
That's 95 also.
Yeah, we have 95 on the
front page. Says 95.
The front page says 95.
Maybe it's not actually the application.
Yeah, do you have it on your
plate? Is it all the WLB?
It should be on it.
I've got 9.5 uniformly on the staff report and 9.5 on the plan.
All right, well, let's go with 9.5 then.
Okay, so the minutes on the agenda is 0.5. Okay, so where I represent that. Okay.
Okay, good, we got the right number.
Yay!
Okay.
We need a second.
Oh, we're going to find it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Findings to support the motion are the special use permit complies with all federal, state, and county regulations. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the adjacent properties or the surrounding area. The conditions of the special use permit adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with applicable fire codes, including setback and fire protection ratings. And the conditions of the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapter 1740, the State Zone Chapter 1703-150 special use permits, or any other federal, state, or county regulations, including building and fire codes.
Commissioners, before you make a vote, you can still discuss this because you haven't seconded and you've finished
right,
your
right,
vote
right,
yet.
Right.
State NRS is going to require the water meter. This, as long as it's a dual use on one well, it's possible the state of Nevada will require a meter on the well to make sure they're not taking more than 2 acre feet a year. And that was changed, I believe that was 2009 when that law came out. I would ask that you guys add a motion verbally and make sure it's part of your discussion that the meter will be, or the well will be metered in accordance with the Nevada revised statutes as required.
Okay.
And
then
we'll
defer
to the state.
Is that something privy to us to do that, or isn't it the state?
I would argue, and then I'll certainly like the
district attorney's office. I was going to draw something else.
Okay.
All right, okay. So before Mr. Loomis discusses, I would ask that motion not be us required, but us that we defer to the state of Nevada that he must comply with the state of Nevada's requirements for a meter for two uses on one well, as long as that use occurs. And when that use doesn't occur anymore, then that meter could be removed. And at that point, I'm going to defer to the district attorney's office. Thank you.
So, Pam, you were in with this, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think my confusion would only be, we always kind of bow to the purview of the state, so if it's safe, if you think you need to say it.
It would be a consistent condition.
Okay. So, we need to amend the motion, or do you want a new one?
You can amend it because it hasn't been seconded yet.
Right.
So I can't amend it.
You can't.
I can't amend it because
hold on before you make
please give us some legal opinion.
Well, the only thing I would say is this is going to be a conditional approval is conditioned, but the identification of the conditions hasn't been made yet, and those are set out in Section 6 of the staff report, and I think it ought to, the motion ought to reference those conditions.
Correct. Under number 5.
Number six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got it in.
It's right here.
Where is that?
So there's no changes to the motion.
Except for the reference to the
NRS.
Right. Other than that. Okay, and we've got that handled.
I have a question about it first. I'm not sure if I'm talking out of line.
No. If you have a question, please.
Yeah. So
state your name again for the record.
Again, Catherine Muse. So this monitor is something that would be on the well, and who, someone comes and gets the readings, or the readings are sent electronically, or how does this work?
So for the record, Austin Osborne, Director for Planning. So with your well, the NRS was changed in 2009 that if you ever have more than one use on a domestic well, then the State of Nevada Engineer's Office can come and require that well be metered. They may not require it, but they're supposed to require.
Okay.
That State Engineer's Office will check that once a year, and he's going to check if you extracted more than 2 acre-feet a year. That's a lot of water. I mean, you'd be taking that shower in that one shower there 24/7. But that's what would be required. That once that is no longer a dual use on that well, then the State Engineer Office would no longer require that use. So we're just making sure it's embedded in the conditions so you know the building department is reminded to defer to the state for that one item.
Assuming this goes forward and it's approved, at what point do I contact someone to have them come put this monitor on the well, or the state's going to contact me? Or?
What I would suggest is when you get your building permit, then you're going to go to Dean's office, and then you're going to get your building permit for your well, if you need to, for your septic system, if it needs to be updated, which it may not. And at that point, they won't give you the permit to finish this until you get that state certificate that says we are now metering the well, or we provided a variance that doesn't require it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I have a question, Austin. Is that 2 acre-feet per residence or per acre?
It is per residence, per dwelling unit on the property.
So
it's going to be per parcel.
So having 3.5 acres.
No. It's going to be, it doesn't matter if you have 40 acres or if you have 1 acre or if you have 5,000 square feet, it's going to be you're allowed 2 acre-feet for a domestic well on that property.
Okay.
It's not per unit, it's not any, it's going to be per parcel.
Okay.
So to exaggerate the point, if you were to put a 5-plex on that property, 2 acre-feet, for a domestic well, unless you own water rights, then it's a different story.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you
very much.
You did it.
Now begins the hard part.
Okay. Number 7.
And for all of you, there's water. And then also, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, right on top of the garbage can, no pun intended, there are some documents for the master plan workshop. There's some maps and a couple goals and objectives of what we're going to talk about. You're welcome to them. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Item 9. Discussion only, no possible action, master plan amendment. Discussion and comments from commission staff and the public regarding existing and potential future land use and development patterns in the county and its communities. Discussion will include a review of the draft of the master plan, chapter 4, land use. Public participation is encouraged. Copies of the master plan may be obtained from the planning department. There's a website and phone number. Anyway. Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, I'm going to try to speak up. If I start getting mumbly, let me know. Throw something, not a rock. But let me know what's going on. What we are, this is, I don't know how many we are now, but we've been going through these master plan workshops for about 4 years, more aggressively in the last 2 years, and very aggressively in the last 1 year. The purpose of this meeting, the purpose of the master plan workshop, is not to take our existing master plan and throw it out and replace it with something else. We have a good master plan. And how many people in this room remember Corda Vista? We're here. Okay, great. Most of us, if not all of us. That master plan we have was tested in Corda Vista in the Supreme Court of Nevada, and it prevailed. And it prevailed based off of the findings of water and land uses and interaction with the highlands and other communities and other items. And so we don't want to start from scratch. Really all we're doing is we're taking a good master plan and we're bringing it up to par with changes that have occurred since 1994. The industrial park, changes out here in the highlands, water uses, Virginia City, population, and probably one of the most important things are the things occurring in our neighboring counties with urban sprawl and pressure to build. And so those are the things that we put together in these workshops. It's not my master plan. It is our master plan. It's for everybody. And I don't just say it's ours because, oh, I have kumbaya. It really is the master plan that you want it to be. So if all of you want a certain use out here in the highlands and we get more and more public comment about opposition or in favor of something, then the county commissioners and the planning commissioners are going to consider your thoughts and try to make our master plan consistent with what the people in each of our communities are interested in. What you know is a master plan, and I know the planning commissioners have heard this again and again, so I'm sorry that you get tired of that, but a master plan is not an ordinance. It is not an ordinance that is zoning. It is separate from zoning. It's not an ordinance that says you can't do this, you can do that. What it is a verbal and a map discussion of each of the communities in the county and the county as a whole, and it is a document that guides our county commissioners, it guides our planning commissioners, and guides staff such as myself on what type of uses should happen throughout the county. Some of them are very specific, and some of them are very broad. And that way, when you do your zoning ordinances, and when you do your development applications, you compare it to that master plan and say, is this what the master plan says? Are we going to have a Corda Vista type of development in the center of the county? Let's look. No, we aren't. And let's deny that development. And then when that development goes to court, it's that master plan that we use to defend us in court. And the courts will look at that and say, the people of the county, through the public process, as established by the state through NRS, went through and said, they don't want this, and that is going to weigh very heavily on a county's decision to turn something down. If it's not in there, or we don't have a master plan, then the courts are going to look and say, did the commissioners do this out of emotion? Did they do it because they didn't like the applicant? Did they do it for whatever other reason? You're not going to hold water, and you might lose, and that development will come in. Now, one of the items, of course, we'll talk about is this commercial concept out there at Five Mile Flat. If everybody doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. It's not. But what's going to be really good is if somebody comes and proposes something, a 7-Eleven shows up 6 years from now, they're going to look back at the documents that occurred on days like this that said a master plan workshop was held and that area was very heavily opposed to any kind of commercial development. These are the things that were discussed. This is what was adopted by the Board of Commissioners. Based on that, we're going to uphold the commissioner's decision to deny the 7-Eleven. But if no discussion is made on it, and it just kind of is what it is, and we hope for the best, we may not win such a lawsuit because it was never discussed, and someone might come up with a real good argument to say this is good for the highlands, it serves the people, whatever, and it becomes a use that's allowed. That's what the master plan is. So what I planned on doing today is this is interactive. It isn't listening to me talk for 2 hours, and nothing should be going on for 2 hours unless you want it to be. But it's to discuss this map, and this is a map that's up there on the garbage can, and this is going to be kind of a 360-degree or a 30,000-foot view of what we might want the county to look at. And this is based on what everyone in the county has talked to us about, not on what Austin thinks is good or what any other person thinks is good. The second thing I was going to discuss is the goals, and one of those goals, draft, emphasize draft, is a commercial use out at Five Mile Flat. Some people have expressed an interest in that. Some people have expressed an opposition to that. That's what these workshops will be. You don't want it? It's not going to be there. That's a draft goal. It'll be pulled out, never heard again, but it'll be part of the record that you guys didn't want it to help defend us in the future. And last but not least, well, that's it for the master plan, and then the rest will be discussion as we go. We're targeting, hopefully, December of this year to get a final draft reviewed, and then when that's done, we will what we call roadshow it with all the community so you can take a look at it. This is all on the website. You can go on there right now and look at it, and I put the dates of it, so when I continuously update it, you know which one you're looking at, and some of the stuff you're going to say, holy cow, what is this guy thinking? That's what we need to hear, and say, you know what, this is wrong, let's go a different direction. It's a draft document. I call it a talking paper because it is a talking paper. It changes, metamorphosizes daily. So are there any questions before I begin the first part, which is this map, kind of giving you an overview of the county and where we might go, and then we'll get into some of the specifics for your area in the Highlands. Yeah?
Austin, just for clarity, so this is incorporated into the master plan just by definition for possible future use of that land. Is that correct?
It would be in two places. Yeah, it would be in what we call like the summary of the Highlands text, the discussion that says the Highlands is really pretty and it has horses and all this and all that kind of fluffy stuff. And then it'll say, and people really want Walmart over there 5 mile flat, or no, they don't. Okay, and I'm exaggerating the point to make the point. And then there's a second part, goals and objectives. And one of the goals will be the people in the high, or there should be a Walmart considered at 5 mile flat, or there should not be commercial uses in the Highlands. This was first from day one designated as a rural residential community, and that's it.
So no one specifically requested a zoning change at this point to do anything out there?
Absolutely. This is 100% initiated by myself, as well as from conversations, and they were very casual, like at the barbecue, hey, what have you thought about a commercial use there? There's no developer, there's nobody behind the scenes that wants to do that, there's no application, there's nothing even close to that. This is strictly, what do you guys want to do with that land?
Nothing.
There you go.
Thank you.
Austin.
Yeah.
Jason Benny, thank you for, coming.
Thank you. For the record, can you give your name for a minute? Yes. Valerie LaBelle Flatley. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you for coming. Yes, thank you. I'll be at the next one. Look here. Oh, I need a rock.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait,
I just wanted to emphasize that in the course of the master plan, part of our responsibility developing a master plan for the county, a new master plan, is to bring up all of these hard issues. At times it really gets people excited about, oh, there's no way we want this or we definitely want that. But the bottom line is that we need to document them all because our last master plan was written in 95. It's had a 20-year shelf life. So these opinions that we put forth today and document today could have a 20-year shelf life. So if you feel very passionately that there's no way we want to have any commercial development out there, then from a master plan standpoint, it's our job to document that because that could have a 20-year opinion associated with it. So it's our job to get these issues out on the table, get your opinion of what direction we want the county to go, document them, and have put them into the master plan.
And then I personally went ahead and sent this to your HOA boards, this little provision. I thought, you know, let's get some activity at the master plan workshop, toss that guy in there, and it worked.
And we gave 24 hours left.
Some people did ask, how come this late in the process? Actually, we're in the middle of the process. It's not late. There's lots of time for us to discuss these. There'll be a lot of workshops.
Okay. I'm going to test that point before I ask my question. I don't consider light reading or interesting reading going and looking up the master plan and reading it. And have
stuff.
A feeling. What?
This juicy stuff.
Is it sorry,
ma'am, can you state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry. Carla McPartland.
Thank you, Carla.
Yeah, so, maybe we're all
That's what this workshop's for. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to summarize what's in all that juicy text about what we're looking at.
All right, so I have two questions then.
Okay.
One, are you saying that this was initiated because residents have approached you and said, boy, we'd really like to have a 7-Eleven or...
I wouldn't go that far. Just through casual conversations, whether they're barbecues, master plan meetings, wherever, at the bar, people have come and said, you know, have you thought about looking at a commercial use there? Apparently, and I understand this is a historic item, that it was proposed once before. Our current master plan does mention it. Not that it's in support of it, but it mentions the possibility of a commercial use in the Highlands. And I thought, why not talk about it? So my job was to put some text together, what that might look like, send it out to you all and say, hey, do you like that text? Do you want to change the text or do you want to get rid of it altogether?
And question two was, I hope I misunderstood. You said you're going to do a final vote on this in December? You said we'll be done by December?
Well, that's about the area where we're hoping, yes. And that's been through the last 3 years we've been looking at this update. This document has been morphing and morphing and morphing. And if we have to overshoot December, that's fine. There is no panic to get this done. I want to make sure when it's done that we're comfortable, that this has been talked about with the communities, and that it really is what we want.
So attendance at all the rest of the meetings that you're going to discuss this is really crucial.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
How are we going to know without reading, my nightly reading being my master plan?
It's a rolling item on the agenda.
I would assume this point forward, except for maybe an exception, and we get a whole bunch of, you know, big planning items, that every planning commission meeting, this is going to be a standing item, and anybody can come up and talk about it.
And they're held when?
They're held normally every first and third Thursday of the month. Generally, we've been holding them every second Thursday of the month. What's that?
Every third.
Just because of the case law fluctuates.
And we're always welcome to correspondence. I mean, if you want to send us a letter, we're definitely going to read it.
And not only are those letters read, when you submit a letter with your name and all that on it, this is why I oppose, that goes into the record permanently, and it becomes part of this document. It is part of the record that made the document. So you don't have to come to a meeting. You can express your interest with any type of topic you can imagine. That's land use. Or you can come to any planning commission meeting and say, I don't see this on the agenda. Public comment, I want to talk about something with a master plan. It'll be accepted. There's no real lot of formality to this. It's very informal, hence what we have going on tonight.
So how will you make the decision on whether to retain or eliminate policy one under goal four?
It's going to be your guys' pressure is what it's going to be. It's going to be what I get from emails, what I'm going to see on the blog, what I see from you all here. There's a little link you can go on our website that has a community survey. That's going to be on that. It's going to be on how many people call, and then it's going to be what I show as final text of these meetings, including that last roadshow, and you'll all say, holy cow, we really don't want that sentence in there. Let's get rid of it, and it can be striken out at the last minute.
And I want to say something. Every community in every area is different in Story County. I mean, in Lockwood, we definitely wanted the residential. We wanted residential next. We wanted commercial. But this is a different area. And we want to take everything into consideration that way. You know, and it's nice to have a balanced use. And in future places like Painted Rock, we want to set up a balanced use so people are not getting on the highway to go get groceries. And we want to set it up so it's a balanced use if we can.
A completely different environment.
But yeah, and that's what my point is. Every spot in Story County is unique.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to point out that 16 years ago, there was an applicant that wanted to put a store in down at the Lousetown exit off of 341. He got denied, but that people showed up.
Roundly denied.
Yeah, people showed up at that meeting.
Well, there's a little more history than that. About 3 or 4 years prior to that, a realtor out here who lived on Lousetown, a little south of here, owned the southeast corner of Cartwright and Lousetown. And he came in and asked if he could go in and build a little country store that would have milk and beer and ice and maybe a few building materials and things like that. And after a lot of discussion, most of the residents were in favor of it. Then he picked up and moved away about 6 months later, and nothing ever happened. He never followed through with it. 3 or 4 years later than that was when the fellow came in and said he wanted to do the same kind of thing, only out of 341 in Cartwright. And he made it sound initially that it would be the same kind of thing, a little country convenience store. But then when it came forward, what he actually proposed to do was more like a little mini strip mall. And that's when everybody said, no, we don't want that. And so he went away too. But at one point, there was a desire for like a little country convenience store, no gasoline, a parking lot and a couple of hitching posts, things like that, for the convenience of the residents up here. So you didn't, if all of a sudden you found you needed milk, you didn't have to go all the way into D.C. or down to the bottom of the grid. And I don't know that ever be a money maker, but he's a hobby for somebody up here that wanted to do that. And I've always felt that across from the fire station might be an appropriate location for that. But
I live there.
No. Back to 5 miles.
Not even close.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Joan Baron Winrich, and in keeping with what this gentleman just said, in relationship to any commercial structures, could they be aesthetically conducive to the country rural atmosphere, if you will? And that's why I came to something in Virginia City. Is that something that could be put into the
The text that was proposed? And I don't mind if we go a little out of order on some of this, because it's workshop, that's okay. If the chairman's fine with it,
Yeah.
I'm going to read the text that I put together.
Okay.
And take a look at this. You know, here's the matzo ball, what do you think? So, this is the, what I call the touchy-feely, describe the Highlands text part. It says, there are no commercial uses in the Highlands. In the early 1990s, the community expressed to the board and planning commission a strong opposition to a proposed convenience store at the junction of Cartwright Road and 341. Residents cited potential degradation of existing rural lifestyle as a primary reason for its opposition to the use. However, there appears to be a growing desire in the Highlands community for a small commercial use around the junction area that would serve the needs of the local neighborhood. The popularity of such potential development appears directly proportionate to the number of newcomers that continue to populate the subdivision. It should be anticipated a continued population expansion in this area may increase the likelihood and local support for a small commercial use proposal. Then there's the second part. This is where you read later in the plan the goals and objectives that become part of a motion for approval or denial of such a store. Goal one. To provide adequate facilities and services for the Highlands, supported by a policy. By considering a compact commercial development at 5 Mile Flat that serves the needs of the Highlands residents and that blends with a community predominant rural residential character, including scale, configuration, and architectural character, and by discouraging strip development. Could be anything. And then we can also make it in zoning after the master plan, that if we were to do such a store, it would require a special use permit, and that would be heard by the planning commission and the board, and then they can condition everything from appearance, they can make it get architectural review compliance, you can do anything you want. Or you can say, this is really not what we're looking for in the Highlands, this is the wrong direction, let's nix it all together.
In the description in the description you gave of the Highlands at the very beginning, you have a statement in there that says a lot of, or most people, or something.
Sure.
Before newcomers, increasing number of people.
Uh-huh.
Give me a scale to that. From one to two people over a 5-year span is an increasing number of people. I mean, how can you make a statement like that that isn't backed up by actual, here's a survey,
I know, master plan, this is the overview,
he was speaking specifically for the Highlands, and I would ask you to show me the data that says there are more and more and more people that want it. Makes it sound like it's going to happen because, you know, X number of people are asking for it, but if you have 5 people out of 5,000 asking for it,
I agree. What I wanted to do before I embark on a tremendous amount of research and those things is just throw the concept out there. You guys like it or not. And when everybody says, no, this is absolutely horrible, then it's done. That's it.
And amend that statement.
Oh, it probably just nicks the whole thing. Or if some people are like, yeah, we kind of like it, but we want to talk about how to do it, and I'm starting to feel that generally there's an acceptance for an idea in some way or fashion, then I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, let's do a survey. Let's see what people really want. Let's go through some diligence. But if nobody shows up to the meetings that's for it, and you guys all hate it, it's gone. It's going to be the people who speak that are going to be the people that rule on this. And so this is draft text. I just kind of put it together and say, all right, everybody, what do y'all think about the concept? Not necessarily data or anything else.
So when would you like those comments?
Now. I mean, now.
Okay, okay. State your name for the record.
My name is Erin Ramey, and I vehemently am opposed to any commercial development.
Okay.
20 plus years, good for me.
Okay. And if your partner also opposes, that's two people on the record. So yes, take note of that.
Why don't we do a show of hands for and against?
My name is Tom Ramey, and I feel exactly the same. My question would be, wouldn't you take a survey of the population prior to even getting involved with this and know whether you should go forward with having it in the master plan and just go, we took a survey, the majority of the people are opposed to it, so in our master plan we will say no commercial development. My concern is, and I have lived in some different places, definitely rural. I moved here from Maine, and what I had always seen is people move to that part of the country because they like the beauty, they like the scenery, the privacy, no traffic, no stress. You know, you can go on and on and on. Then you get the people from in New York City, Connecticut, Massachusetts, they come up there and the first thing, well, we would like to have just a little here, and we would like to have just a little of this over there. And for me, it's always a Pandora's box. Once you open that up to commercial development, nice little mom and pop store to begin with, and before long, years down the road, you got the strip mall, you got the 7-Eleven, you got the gas station, you got the bright lights at night, you can't see the stars from my deck. And that's why I think I am adamantly opposed to any commercial building or construction in this area. I mean, it would ruin it.
Okay.
That's my story.
Brandy Govenda, and we feel the same. We moved up here for this area to be this area. We are the newcomers you're talking about, but we're not bringing California with us at all. My preference for the master plan is to say that commercial in the Highlands is not okay at all. You can say it more lawyery than I. I assume my husband's here to say.
Do you want to speak on the matter, Joe?
Yeah, there.
And state your next name for the record, sir.
James Govinda.
Thank you.
There's an area back in California called Black Hawk. Beautiful area, just like this, rural setting, everything. But then one day they decided to bring commercial in. Next thing they know, they have commercial, condos, strip malls, and everything else under the sun, and it's no longer the beautiful, outrageously priced sanctuary these millionaires bought. You know, of course, this isn't a millionaire property, or some of them are, but I think it's better than Black Hawk ever was. And to bring commercial in, yes, he was saying the Pandora box thing, to bring that in here, it's just opening up the door to say, yeah, we want everything. And then when we do open that door, the commercial people are going to come in and say, we want your money. And we don't need to give it to them.
Okay.
But it's commercial. I mean, from the visitors for Virginia City and stuff.
Okay.
One more thing. Since this started yesterday, I have had no less than 40 calls today. And you can look at the chat board. There's like 20 of them on there. Not one even wants this entertained.
What I need you to do, if you can do me a favor, direct and write to me and say, please call Austin.
Really?
Yeah.
You want
that? Yeah. 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 That's fine.
We want to meet
the exactly
you.
Yeah.
Hey, there's strength in numbers. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we need as much input from as many citizens as we can get.
They don't need to talk to around 50 people in over 24 hours.
That'd be great. Austin would love to field the phone calls and meet
them. I would. They just call, talk about it. I write their name and their number. I take a couple notes what their comment is. It's in. I don't have to go through any government. I just call me directly. And you got my number.
Oh, yeah,
I can call my cell phone. I could care less. I can call my cell phone. And that's what we need.
Perfect. Yes, sir.
Phil, I agree with everybody else that, you know, commercial use here is not going to be good, especially down at that location. We'll have a traffic problem. We already have issues with people stopping to look at the wild horses, you know, accidents and things like that will happen, bright lights. It's just not what we moved up here for. So I disagree with it all. Thank you.
Next would be a white line.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dave Abel. I've lived in Ohio since 1980. And along with Larry, I've seen a lot of this, I'll call it crap, come down up here where people want to put a little commercial spot here, maybe a little hole-in-the-wall store down by the fire department. And with the exception of a couple of people, the whole Highlands at the time, this goes back to the 80s, were vehemently against this kind of enterprise. And it only benefits one person, that's the person that's putting it in, nobody out here. Since the 80s, we have so much development going on down below, and where Walmart is, to everything. We don't need any extra food availability, milk. If it's an emergency, we have a fire department that can have and send an EMT out. We don't need to go over and get a Band-Aid or anything like that. I know my wife is with me. She's not here now, but she's with me on this. And I just think it's pathetic that. And another thing is, too, is Jack over here is our representative. Why isn't he getting this word out? If this has been going on, how long has this been going on for? When was the mention of even any commercial out here? How long ago has that
fairly, in this text, fairly recently. And I remember when you came in, Dave, if you came in just a little bit late, part of the reason we're having this discussion is not because there's a proposal or we should look at this. It's also to get it on the record and give you opportunity to comment on it. So it becomes part of the record. So when this master plan is adopted, it's on the record that the people don't want it. If I just say, pretty much nobody wants it out there, and I just leave it and don't talk about it, it's a weak spot. I would like to spotlight the attention to some nasty things out here so you guys have an opportunity to shoot them down on record, and that plan gets written that way. So part of this is strategy. Is not necessarily, let's look at this. It's a strategy if you don't want it to comment on it. You can't comment on it if it's not there. So it's not anybody's fault. Nothing bad is happening here. This is an opportunity for you guys to say, I don't want it.
And well, that's, you know, we probably have somebody that's in the main line with you guys, because this is a couple of days ago. I just heard about this today because I've been on vacation.
I understand.
And if this has been going on for so long, how come you don't notify us, Jack? How come you don't let people know here? There's a
I'm going to defend your commission.
That's misplaced. Larry is our representative. Jack?
No, I'm talking about commission. No.
But Dave, let me...
It's the planning commission.
This is the planning commission meeting.
Okay, well, is...
And we have...
Excuse me, I'm not done. Do you know what's going on the planning commission, Jack?
I haven't been, you know, I've known for years since I've been up here since 98 that there's been attempts to build a store down by the fire station.
About what's going on right
but
now.
What's going on right now is the planning, is they're trying to work out a master plan and they're going to each neighborhood asking you what you want. Now, they're basing this mom and pop store at the entrance, they're basing it off of old history because it was in the old... In the old master plan.
Still is.
So that's why we're bringing it back up to make sure we kill it.
Yeah, I realize
You're against it. I'm against it.
Well, I know,
but there's people
that.
In the Highlands that are for it.
We need somebody in the main line to let us know about this. I know you're on the planning commission?
No.
Okay, well, you're...
But I attend, since I've been commissioner, I've been attending many of them.
Well, you knew about all this stuff in advance.
And I'm going for a point of order, Mr. Abel, is your commissioners at this point... They're watching, they're not supposed to direct the planning commission. The planning commission is given the authority, and this is the structure, to say you guys do all the legwork on these types of things. Your commissioner's watching all that, but just because your commissioners aren't contacting you doesn't mean they're not doing their job. It means they're saying, per our policy, planning commissioners go through these public processes. We're going to watch and listen, so when they make that final vote, they know what happened during those meetings, but they're not supposed to be rocking and rolling right now. Your planning commissioner
is
supposed to be
on that. I'm not asking them to rock and roll with the planning commission. I'm asking them to let us know what he was elected to do. Let us know about planning.
You know, the other thing, Dave, is there's people who do want it. That's why we're talking about it. And as your county commissioner, I have to pretty much stay non-biased.
No.
I got to keep an open mind.
For clarity, this is the process that we're trying
to make everything happen as far as the master plan. We're looking for input and we're looking for bases for legal opinions down the road. So we have a solid master plan, and without your input and everybody else's name on it, then we don't have a good case. And when we have everybody in the community on it, and to defend Jack, he's been at a lot of meetings, and this is basically, we wanted to bring this subject up here. Okay, we've been in Lockwood talking about it, but we haven't been here. So that's why we're talking about it, because it's here. And we wouldn't talk about it in Lockwood, because who cares in Lockwood about if you guys are going to have a convenience store up here?
And okay. You can understand my angst in this. You can
I definitely understand.
Not good.
Let us do our job as far as listening to you, and we get it now, okay?
They didn't have this. The workshop started with no documents, and we had easels out here where we were writing with big Duplo markers what people wanted. And they were shouting and saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, I don't want this. And we were writing all that down. And we did that again and again and again. And then with all of those notes, started putting this stuff together. And it's very draft. It's very rough. It's got a lot of things in there that are controversial. It's got a lot of things in there that are good or not good. And that we're in the middle of the process, building it up. Nothing's late, nothing's in. This is my doing. I'm not going to say my fault, because it was done when it was ready. Remember, putting this together, I wrote all this text up and I tossed it over to your HOA boards and I said, by the way, we're having a workshop on this today, but it isn't the workshop. It's just one. We're going to have another one and another one and another one. If this was the workshop and we were looking at action in a couple weeks, I'd say, yeah, you're absolutely right. Out of line, way too fast, wait a minute, I didn't know what was going on. You intercepted this in the middle of the process. That's totally cool. And the next time we have this workshop, this document's going to look a lot different. It's probably not going to have some of that text in there. And I'm listening to you all. I'm going to go ahead and go back to the office, and I'm going to work with your HOA boards to get some kind of a little a survey and get some numbers. What do you guys think? And see where those numbers end up. And then we got some real data that we can come back to these meetings and say, okay, everybody, this is what we got. 3 people want that store and 340 don't. Boom, done. That's the middle of the process. This is totally okay. And for those that weren't able to attend today, it's okay, because there's going to be the next workshop and the next one.
Okay, sir, state your name for the record.
Jay Carmona. I hate to draw it hypothetically, but if you don't hear from residents when the time comes to finalize that plan, it will be in there or stay in there, correct?
Well, we're hearing from the residents right now.
Okay, no, I know.
So things are going to change and Austin's right, he's going to change the language immediately, because we'll do further research.
Yeah, well, I send messages out to our chat group, so... as a board president, I would either like to pass that word out there and say, hey guys, look, if you feel that strongly, you need to make sure that you attend these meetings, that you
or
voice your opinion.
Or call
Austin.
Just so numbers
sure.
Are what we're looking for.
Or regardless, okay. However you feel about it, if you want to say this is either, you know, once the master plan is finalized, it's going to be in there. So if you guys are against it, you need to say something, and those that are for it can also say something. But point is, if you heard nothing from us, it would stay in there. Or
I would not do that. First of all, your final master plan is going to be adopted by your 3 commissioners. Okay. Your 3 commissioners may say, you didn't get a lot of data on this. I got to represent my people. Okay. I'm pulling it out. And it's going to be their decision. I'm staff.
Okay.
Planning commission does the late work as far as community workshops. Your commissioners, ultimately, you're going to tell me some things like, I don't care what your survey says, this is bad for my community, yank it. It's going
to
get yanked.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify, so when I do pass the word, I'm passing the right information.
And I do want to reassure you that I do talk with our planning commissioners, our county commissioners. They know what's going on. They know the direction. There's no surprises in this. And do take note that this document's on our website. Then people ask me for the document on a regular basis. I email it to them, or they can come by my office and get it. Or they can just come and talk to me and say, hey, Austin, what's going on?
Sure.
Totally fine. And remember, we're in the middle of the process. There's a lot to do. And if it takes longer, it'll take longer. No rush.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bill Evans again. And I'm not sure if this is off subject or not, or if it's part of the master plan. You said something about things coming and things like that. Is there anything that can be done about bicycle riders on the grade? Somebody's going to get killed, and they're going to cause somebody to go across the line and run head-on into somebody else.
this is where we are on master plan, and now if you want, we can go into this map regarding bicycles. I can't put in the master plan, bicycles shall not do something on the grade. That's code, and that's an NDOT highway, so it's going to be NDOT. But NDOT is doing their master plan and their bicycle master plan. So what you all need to do is two things. One, communicate with me on your interests, but also contact NDOT and say, I'd like to submit a comment about your bicycle plan. I do or don't like bicycles on Geiger Grade.
There's no bicycle lane there.
But they want to look at possibly putting in one.
That's fine.
That's going to be part of the
money.
Thank you, folks.
I understand.
Thank you.
That's going to cause an accident going around.
Would you like me to go into some of the concepts?
Fall down in front of you.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
No, wait,
Pam. I'm a little worried that there seems to be some confusion in general about the master plan. We have a master plan, and it's effective, and it's good. We have been working for the last, I would say, 18 months easily. I know you've been working on it longer. But this has been a process. It's not like the students have to plan it out. You guys need to figure out how to sit down. Somebody needs to be over here. Yeah. They need to balance. Anyway, I did worry that there's a misconception about this whole thing tonight that, you know, we're actually getting ready to pass something. And there were, because we do have a very good master plan. And it's that, you know, as you said, Corte Vista. If we did not have an accepted master plan, Corte Vista could have been built easily.
Yep.
And we couldn't have said anything about
right.
it. So I just, you know, and tonight's meeting, we're not voting on this. This is the second time we've been in the Highlands, and like you said, we had all the things out, and, you know, and we will be back again. But I just, you know.
I don't know that I'm hearing anything against the master plan or the process.
I just don't feel like there's been a lot of, misunderstanding about tonight.
The issue from my perspective, speaking only for me, about tonight, is that there was zero.
The master plan is on the agenda. To say there's zero.
There was zero information communicated to this community about the until this morning that there was going to be a discussion or that it even existed in the master plan, because as Karen and Carlin said, nobody reads them really, that there was going to be a discussion about the possibility of commercial. The minute that hits the board, that's why you have these people here. So the issue isn't the master plan. The issue is, as with other things, is communicating to say there's going to be a master plan workshop in the Highlands. We would suggest that the Highlands residents attend, because one of the issues discussed as part of the Highlands master plan are and one of them is commercial.
That's exactly what happened. If you're in Washoe County, and I'm not arguing.
No, I'm just asking when did that happen.
County, and I want to, and I'm going to ask the chairman ultimately. I'd like to answer this question. I'd like
okay.
to answer the chairman
right.
to allow us to continue
too.
On. I think there's people in this room that have jobs to go to tomorrow, don't want to be here till 8 o'clock, and want to actually look at the master plan instead of just arguing about whether we should be here or not. And I'm not arguing, I'm not upset, but I do think we're spending quite a bit of time on that. I put this out here to get people here to let the HOAs know it's an item. The item on the agenda is to discuss the master plan as applicable to the county and the local area, that meaning the Highlands. We've had these meetings again and again and again and again, and this item's been on this master plan one or more times in one shape or form. What I just want to do is bring attention, and I use the word spotlight attention in that email. By the way, this item's on there too. And by the way, it's going to be discussed again and again. And I would say once again, this is the last meeting. It was the last workshop. We were getting close to ratification. I would say I didn't do my job. But we're not. We're in the middle of the process, and I want more people to start coming to these. And I'm going to send out little firecrackers out there here and there to bring spotlight attention to controversial items to get people to show up.
We do need the numbers of people showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
One suggestion. I noticed on here that it's posted at our fire station.
Yes.
My guess is, since I spend a lot of time, our files are over there. I'm Secretary of Transportation, some of them. My guess is there aren't 25 people to go to that fire station every year.
It's on our website. It goes in the e-blogs
website.
On our county website. And anybody that goes to our website can hit a button. and you can put in your email, and you get automated alerts of every single agenda, all the minutes, all kinds of things that come out in the county, and you get blasted at every time when you're on it. We have a tremendous amount of communication. I'm very proud of our IT department. I'm proud of our commissioners for directing staff to do this, when especially these three commissioners came on board, is to get our website completely automated, fireworks, app, all kinds of things. It is out there. It's very well publicized. Our website is amazing now. We probably have one of the best websites in the state of Nevada. It's the most easy thing in the world to use. It's very nice. And I'd like to ask the commissioners if we can move to the maps.
Yes.
And let these...
Unless we... Jim?
Just one statement. My feeling is that a lot of what's been brought up is... And I want to agree with you, Austin, and move forward with the content, because a lot of what's brought up has not been content, but it's been on notice.
Mm-hmm.
Issues with the master plan, as we have talked very little about it, really, to this point this evening. But I'm hearing that there's some frustration with how do we get notice out, how do people understand what's happening. A little bit from my perspective as a planning commissioner is this is, we've had them now in Virginia City, Mark Twain, Lockwood. This is one of the better turnouts we've had.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's a little frustrating on our end.
It is.
On our end, that's a little frustrating when we hold a master plan meeting and we get three people in Virginia City.
We're flagging people down in the
right.
street.
And so I think there is something to be said that we need to look at how we get notice out or build a little more interest, or maybe the community just isn't interested from that standpoint.
Controversy in different areas.
I'm talking different areas in the turnout. But I think there is a continuous improvement opportunity just to notice from that standpoint. But we
I
do
put
appreciate
that notice on the board at 10 o'clock this morning.
And 50 responses within 3 hours.
But we do appreciate people coming out tonight because, as we said, without the input, it's hard for us to know what the community is thinking. But that certainly is something that always has to be worked on, and how do we get more input.
Thank you.
And putting something out controversial gets more input. I'm defending Austin here a little bit. We've done the same thing in Lockwood, given us a sensational, you know, about the bike lane. We get, you know, 50 people to show up. Otherwise, we have two people. And I'd rather have 50 people because then we can find out about other things.
So what we might do is attach a controversial item to every
community.
Well,
it
works, and it's not, you know, I don't know how ethical it is.
Nicole suggested that no one would have showed up tonight if this wasn't on the agenda. But this is a workshop for the master plan directly affecting the Highlands, and you're suggesting no one would show up if there wasn't an issue about their commercial.
It doesn't say, it's not in the actual agenda, Mark. It's a generic statement. What got people out here tonight was what was posted that had a high level of specificity.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you're saying that no one would have showed up to this workshop tonight had there been something on there that was a hot topic.
More specific
but this has to deal with the Highlands, the master plan portion of it. So residents should be here. You should all be here, regardless if it was a hot topic, because this has to do with the master plan section.
Totally agree, Marshall.
So
people don't take
it. So now that we've got everybody here, let's talk about it.
I'm going to go. Okay? Here's a map that looks like this. And it's got stars all over it, and the stars are numbered. And the stars go in clockwise motion. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about each star, and each star represents something that's probably higher than normal interest to the community. I'm going to talk about lower than interest as well, and then I'll talk about the goals for each community that are extremely draft at this point. So number one is in the Highlands. You notice on this map that we are proposing to divide the county up into five planning areas. What this essentially will be is five chapters of the master plan, and each chapter will talk about each area, and each area will have people, it'll have transportation, it'll have roads, it'll have housing, and it'll have natural resources, and then some other items like mining in Virginia City, or interface with your north area here in the Highlands, whatever is really hot for that community. And that's what we kind of got looking. Because the Highlands is nothing like Mark Twain, and Mark Twain is nothing like McCarran, and McCarran is nothing like the Comstock. They're all very distinct communities. And each of them, some of them have sub-communities. You got the Comstock, you have Virginia City, Gold Hill, and American Flat. And then you have Mark Twain, you have Mark Twain Estates, and then the greater Mark Twain area. You have McCarran. McCarran's pretty much McCarran. You got the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Larga Mesina, we're going to talk about that a little bit, and that's probably going to be the hot topic for you guys. And then Lockwood, Mustang, there's two sub-regions in there. Lockwood is very different from Mustang, even though they're very close to each other, and they interface with each other. We want to make sure they interface with each other right. You don't want the smokestack in one upstream from the other one. And then we got Painted Rock that we kind of know and have heard in this community is our potential mixed-use development in the future. So starting at the Highlands, number one, here are some very broad themes for the Highlands that are in the master plan. And I'm going to look at some goals, and you're going to very much disagree with some of the goals, and you're going to agree with some of the goals, and you're going to say there's not enough goals, and all of those answers are going to be right. So I'm now going to just look at this. You don't even have to look at it with me, because I'm going to make it very quick and very brief, and then we can talk about it before I go to another community. Here are some draft goals for the Highlands. I'm not going to read them verbatim because I'll be here all day. Goal one, preserve the rural residential character of the Highlands area. And I will read this one verbatim because it makes it look like how do we support that? We want to create a SMART goal. That means there's a goal and then there's some things that tell us how to make that goal. How do we preserve the rural area of the Highlands? Well, here's an objective. To use this master plan to develop and implement zoning and other regulations in and around the Highlands to remain conformant with historic growth patterns. So that means when we do zoning for commercial use across the street, that doesn't conform with that. That's not what this says. Well, we're not going to do that. We're going to deny that. When someone wants to buy 40 acres here in the Highlands and put high-rise, high-density, beautiful, what do you call those things, you know, condominiums, wait a minute, that's not what this thing says. It says we're going to have many historic growth patterns, single-family, residential, and large parcels. Deny that. And how do we do that? We've got a policy. By collaborating with property owner associations and local residents when considering significant land use proposals in the area. So somebody does something that, you don't know, this kind of might be a fit in the Highlands. Let's bring them into the public process and say, do we grant you a zone change or not? No, this is completely against that. Don't do it. Boom, done. Here's another way we can do it. By prohibiting the encroachment of residential sprawl into surrounding areas of the Highlands. Right there. You got Sunny Hills. Right there. You got Corda Vista. There's other things could be percolating out there in the future. Not only do we need to look at the Highlands, but we got to look at what we're calling right now the Larga Mesina planning area, and we got to look at the Comstock planning area, and we got to look at McCarran and make sure what's going on around the Highlands also is consistent with the Highlands. We can do it by maintaining local road design and characteristics support rural character while mitigating dust, fuels, and flooding. That doesn't mean the county takes over private roads, but that might mean we don't put in a four-lane parkway through the middle of the Highlands. That's not the kind of road that supports a rural residential neighborhood. What you see on Cart Ride in Offtown, maybe with some improvements or whatever, might be. How else can we do it? R1 only. We only consider single-family residential zoning in this area. That's it. There's some ideas. That's what goals look like, and these are the things that are draft for this community. Now I'm going to blow through a couple others a little quicker so you don't have to listen to me all night, even though I'm very exciting, I guess. And here's the objective too, to assure that, and it just goes off into nothing. It doesn't say anything. That's because I'm still working on that when it's draft. But policy one, to look at, do we want an east-west connector north of us? Do we want the county being connected this way? Do we want the county being connected this way? Do you like that or not? If you don't like it, this document needs to say it's not a good idea, and we should look at alternatives. And there are alternatives. Or if we really like it, then this document should say, yes, we should put that kind of road in, and this is what that kind of road should look like, and this is where it should be aligned so it doesn't impact us. We could look at impacts on area plan unit developments, what I just said about Sunny Hills, Corda Vistas, things like that. We shall look at, should this be a 1-10s and 40-acre subdivision? Yes. Now, this is already covenanted that way, so we don't have to worry about it changing, but it needs to be in this document, too. And 40 acres, possibly, by maintaining a minimum parcel size of 40-acre parcels surrounding the Highlands. If a zone change were to occur abutting the Highlands, what kind of zoning? It might be a planned unit development with cluster development. Well, do we want that right up against a 40? Probably not. Let's go 40. 20, 30, 10, 5, and then your more dense development. You can phase it in so you guys aren't affected if that kind of a development were to abut this community. Or maybe this document says hooey with all that. We don't want a PUD near Highlands, period. And then that doesn't even happen. And here another one, a goal to ensure adequate quantity and quality of water, domestic water for residents. And this one is question two. You guys approved questions one and questions two in 2009. It was two things. One is when a developer of housing comes to the county, they must, shall, and will prove they have paper water, and they must, shall, and must prove real water. They cannot build, they cannot get a tentative map, they cannot get an approval from the Board of Commissioners until they prove they have water for planned unit development anywhere in the county. So when we had the Court of Vista, if you guys remember Blake Smith, well, we got the water, I can't talk about it, it's all secret, it's coming from the moon or something, it's got this, you know, whatever. No more, those days are over. You must have it, you must prove it, and then we'll consider whether the idea of a planned unit development is good or not. But until then, not even going to talk. That's questions one and questions two. It needs to be in here because you all told the commissioners in 2009 put it in here. And then for this one, the important goal, I will read it verbatim. By working with the United States Geological Survey, which is the agency that would do this, to monitor the quality and quantity of groundwater in the Highlands communities and identify and mitigate negative impacts of human activities on groundwater quality. So they would come here and say, Austin and commissioners, we went and surveyed the Highlands. This is where the water is, and this is where it isn't. And then we would work with a private consultant that knows how to interpret hundreds of pages of data and say, all right, this is what we can do to fix it. The Highlands can create a general improvement district, and they can seek their own water and manage it locally. Or we can put a moratorium in houses. Or we can encourage people to buy 20 parcels, put one house on it, and allow them to build 30 houses somewhere else. Or. Those are the kinds of things this document will do. And we can come up with a lot of alternatives. And we can put in there, may do this, so you're not bound to it, but if you do want to do it, you're supported to do it. Or you can say, shall must, and we'll do it, and we'll do it by this date. Another one, provide adequate facilities and services for the Highlands. This is the matzo ball right here. By considering a compact commercial development at 5 Mile Flat, we've talked about that. That's not looking too good right now. It might just slip off of here. By forming a general improvement district to manage water, maybe. Wireless communication, by having the county support and continue to encourage wireless communication facilities such as we see at the Monopine. By providing EMS and fire services and fuel reductions programs for the Highlands residents to prevent fires. Here's another goal, to maintain a buffer area between heavy and special industrial uses and the Highlands. Just north of you, you have what's called special industrial zoning. It is court ordered through that kind of zoning that they can do anything. Pretty much any kind of industrial type of uses that you can imagine. What's good about that is most of those uses require miles in buffer, so they may be doing something really intense right there, and then the rest of it is deer and snakes and nothing. That's kind of one thing that can be good about extreme high-intensity zoning. It's all buffer, and the rest of it is one little tiny area where they're actually, you know, firing the laser or whatever it is they're doing. The next one, BLM. By cooperating with the Bureau of Land Management as a cooperating agency, if they propose windmills or public spaces or something controversial or nasty or great or whatever, anywhere near this area, this document says the county commissioners must become a cooperating agency and defend the people here, either for or against a project by the BLM. And then we also look at keeping access to BLM lands where we have them currently so the BLM doesn't close off access through Ulfer Creek, for example. And last is to preserve and enhance natural beauty of the Highlands by doing natural beauty mitigation. Okay, that's pretty simple. By doing fuels reduction and by, in this one, adopt a development code that mitigates the visual and adverse impacts of development on moderate to steep slopes greater than 10%. And along the top of prominent ridgelines, what we call a hillside ridgeline ordinance. We don't have that now. It's kind of coming along. It's lost some steam to get this thing done. But this one says we should adopt that ordinance, and that ordinance should be done through the public process, so it is what you want. That's what this document does. That's probably not enough goals. We need to build more together. But that's what I'm hearing from you all when we have those easels out with all the blue duple markers out, are those things. That's just for this area. Every area has got these.
Does anybody have any questions, comments?
I have a
quick question. Randy, you can end up.
Uh-huh.
You would like our input on each of those things.
Sure.
Not great. I mean, it probably isn't a venue, but...
Well, sure it is.
Well, I mean, it's the first time I've read it, so I'm not going to give an opinion, but we can email you step, whatever it is, question, problem,
comment?
Objective, one, this is what I think about that. Okay, this is what I think about that.
Definitely.
Okay. Homework.
Yeah. and if you say, you know, I didn't hear anything about horses, I didn't hear anything about, you know, whatever other issue, I didn't hear anything about, you know, whatever, you know, email, say, hey, you know, I thought about a goal, you know, I don't expect you to be a professional planner, that's not your job, you're a professional at what you do, but say, you know, I really would like to see this happen, type that away, and I'll give you a response. What I'm kind of understanding from you is that you want this, this, and this, and you say, yeah, then I go back and I can make a goal, and then we can come and talk about it.
Great.
And there's definitely things that citizens have come up with that we had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over and over again, mm-hmm. I mean, people come up with the best ideas. I mean, that's why these workshops really work.
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Now, I'm going to kind of maybe get into third gear, kind of, because I know you all have other things in life, and there'll be other workshops. I'll stop as slow as you want, otherwise I'll kind of talk about our other communities. I'm going to start with Largo Mocino. If you go to your map, that's the big yellow one. That one's probably the most important one to you guys. I would almost say more important than your community, because your community is a subdivision. It's been set. It's coveted. It's restricted. It's all done. That one is the Wild West right north of you. That's where people want to put houses. That's where people want to put roads. That's where people want to put sunny hills. And that's where Washoe County, their commissioners, their staff, and everybody in their RTC are all just pushing, 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 trying to get us to do stuff there so they can alleviate pressure in their county. And I think that is the area that we need to build those goals to say, what do we want to occur there? Currently, the master plan calls for a lot of industrial zoning in that area. And the zoning is for a lot of industrial area and zoning in that area. One of the biggest ones, of course, like I said, the Nevada Uplands. That's the former TRW, the former Corta Vista, the former Aerojet, where all the soupy nasty stuff happens in that one little spot kind of zoning. That one's not going anywhere. The Supreme Court said that's what you're doing there, done. I wouldn't worry about that. I would worry about that. That whole area where Sunny Hills is pushing, or Washoe County is trying to get the legislature to do things with a county line, that's where we need that very strong text. Do we want that to be industrial? Do we want it to be open space? Do we want it to be a little mix of things? Probably. Or do we want to see highways and roads in there that will be bringing development? What do you want to see there? And this is the time if you want to, you know,
when you say there, what are you talking about?
That whole yellow area.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay.
And
Sunny
that's
Hill.
Number two and three on those two.
Where on this map would Sunny Hill have been?
Right where that star is.
Okay.
The number two star is approximately where Sunny Hills would end up. Right there.
And we purposely put Lago Mocino in a different area than the Highlands. Okay? And we actually changed that line because we didn't want that to be concurred with a subdivision.
Yeah.
Now, are there still discussions going on with Washoe County about moving those county lines?
Yes.
As far as between your commissioners and theirs, no, because the legislature killed it.
Definitely.
But Washoe County's down there right now. Their staff is drafting up new bill drafts for the next legislative to goof around with it again. We don't know what they are. They probably don't know what they are, but they're chucking and jiving down there.
Mm-hmm. Is that still, what, 40-acre parcels down there?
How it is right now...
1,240-acre parcels.
Yeah, there's large parcels, and don't forget... Right along that whole stretch right now, all these old little pie pieces you see on, where is the map I'm looking for? I want you all to see this. This is probably more important than anything else tonight. This is the one. Thank you. Sorry about that. The Highlands is blue. Okay, sure. Thank you. This is all the Highlands, and this whole thing up there is about a quarter of that area here.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all those little pie pieces in there. That's actually called Sunny Hills Ranch House. It is that today. That is the ownership of it, and those are currently 40-acre parcels, and they can be developed with residential uses. They do require a special use permit for every single one of them. That means the Corps Commission has to hear every single one of them because it's zoned forestry. But if they want to come and zone that estate, they probably might be able to push for that and say, well, you can still do one house for 40 acres, but no more board review. But your Sunny Hills folks want to change a portion of that and say, to heck with the 40-acre parcels, we want to do Double Diamond Ranch type of development, high density and all regular subdivision kind of stuff, and change the zoning. Your county commissioner said the people in this community don't want that. We're not going to approve that. That's not what Story County is about. So what is their alternative? Well, let's get Washoe County to move the county line so we don't have the Story County commissioners calling the shots. We'll do it our way. That's what's going on. So the master plan in this area, I would suggest, not only talks about what you want to see in development, but what you want to see as far as keeping the county line there, maybe allowing housing in another place that might be more appropriate, so you allow housing, and that's keeping this the way it is. And then the other element is the yellow area. Not only is it going to be about the yellow area, that text is going to talk about how the yellow area interfaces with the blue area. When something happens here, how does it affect this? And if it's bad for this, deny this.
So the white area there is Washoe County.
This is all Washoe County.
Yes. So they could build in there.
Oh, yeah, they can build. They can do whatever they want there. And you'd be surprised how close you are to Washoe County along here. Look where you've got the county line. They could decide we're going to build high-rise condominiums there. There's nothing we can do to stop that. Yeah.
I understand that you're saying we should, if we put in the master plan what we don't want to see in that area, then they have to abide by it.
Correct.
So that's one reason to push for this master plan to be completed
Sooner
rather than later.
Exactly. That's why we want to do it by December.
And that's the plan to say we want this to remain as it is. See all this gray? That's all industrial zoning inside that yellow in the master plan. That's industrial, which is good for the county. It brings industrial dollars, it brings tax dollars, it helps you. And most of this stuff, as you see at Tri-Center, it's big, humongous square blocks that are warehousing and things like that. It's just heavy industrial. You wouldn't know it's even there, and it helps generate dollars. But some folks want to go and change this all to high-density planned unit development, fill it up with Double Diamond Ranch. This forestry area, same thing. There's push for that. You put a road across here, you remember that you build it, they will come. That could happen. This white and black area is that super mega intense industry that I told you about that you guys very likely would not see any impacts because of that extreme buffering that's involved. You wouldn't want to be right there in the cooler, you would melt. But everywhere else is a buffer, depending on what they're doing. That's an exaggeration to make the point. Whatever you want.
Yes, sir. State your name for the record.
Please. Dave Grimminger, Highlands. This came up with the Sunny Hills for the last couple of years. That one section that we're talking about right above the Highlands.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And that's what Washoe is trying to annex into their county.
Not all of it. So this whole thing goes all the way to Petroglyphs. So if you're at the Petroglyphs and you do this, you are in technically Sunny Hills Rancho. Washoe County is really interested in this little block right in his area.
Can Washoe and the state override Story County?
They can. They always say with the legislature, they create counties, they can destroy counties. Well, our job is, and why we have lobbyists for Story County, is they know the legislature, they know the legislators, they know how to get things done, and they go in there and stop bills from coming through all the way through committee and to the floor to be discussed. These got killed right away, right off the bat. They never made it to the floor. Because of our lobbyists, because of our county commissioners, because of Pat Whitten and our team, is to kill those things. It will come up again. It will always be there.
So can Story County turn that into a conservancy before the state takes over?
We could do anything. We can zone it whatever we want.
But they still can change the state line, though. The county line.
We can do whatever we want. They can still.
They can still change the county.
They can still change
it. Private property.
Private property.
So if there's a conservancy to take it for,
That wouldn't be good.
And that owner owns the same property in Washoe County.
He does. And they want to put it all together. But right now, he does have the right to build. You could probably fit in, a few dozen houses in there. Be like these. You can't take that right away from him. He is, Marshall is absolutely right. But maybe 40 houses in there isn't that bad thing.
I remember during the discussions that even if it wasn't allowed to go into Washoe County, that they could put roads through there to get to their housing?
They have parcels that exist, and they would have the right to build roads between those parcels, even change the parcels and configure it. They would have right to put roads in there.
Yeah.
That is right, even as it is. Now, you start getting up into this area for a major east-west connector, not necessarily. They could, but it might be more difficult for them to do that. I don't have specific goals for that area yet. You'll see in this is the construction zone, where the cone is. But probably by the next meeting, I'll start having some draft text for this area.
And this you do it like an input.
I want.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Yes, sir. State your name for the record.
Kai Mitchell, Virginia City. I want to speak briefly. I don't want to take a lot of time, but first of all, as an example, that no matter where you live in the county, you can come to the meetings and speak at them. The one that we held in Virginia City, there were about four members of the public there. I got basically everything I wanted. so even if it's not about a particular area, you can come and speak during public comment. So feel free to use the other meetings, wherever they are, to get your point across. As someone who does not live in the Highlands, I did for 6 months about 2 years ago, but I'd like to speak in favor of maintaining or speak against any sort of increase in the density of the zoning in that area. I don't feel it's appropriate, and certainly I'm not impacted as much as the people that are right next to it, But I agree with the master plan we have now, which states that large-scale developments are incompatible with the character of the county. What I would like to ask about is access and connectors, because I think that's something that we as a county really need to think about for the next 20 years going forward, connecting together different parts of the county that aren't currently connected, the pros and cons, the opportunities, the pressures that it puts on areas for development. But, I mean, certainly, you know, property values in Virginia City would be benefited by being connected directly to TRI in some way, for example. And so that's a discussion I'd like to have. I mean, what are possibilities, options, like to know what's possible without or minimizing impacts on the residents in this area.
All right. This was a topic that I wanted to throw out here tonight. Again, another hot topic for the area. But in the 95 master plan that we currently have, the top transportation priority was to pave Six Mile Canyon Road. Okay? That's paved. The second priority was to connect the north and south parts of the county, basically Lockwood to the Highlands. That was the number two transportation priority.
And it's that way currently right now.
Yep. That is the master plan from 95, and it's currently in place. So that's an issue that we will definitely have to have a discussion on before anything is adopted for a new master plan. So I wanted to get that topic out there. I think that there's been strong comment on not wanting Loustown connected up to Lockwood. Strong resistance.
Also Canyon Way.
Yeah.
Okay. No Canyon
Lockwood's
Way.
Lockwood's not really for...
No, the Mustang is going to be the Mustang exit is going to be the only feasible.
Okay, from the this end of the county, I did want to throw out the idea of Long Valley. Is there any appetite to have Long Valley as opposed to Loustown be the source from this end of the county?
I don't think we want anything from the county.
Eventually something's going to have to break open because you need that for emergency.
Well, and it doesn't have to be a must. It's a may, right?
Yeah.
It's the door's open, but it's not necessarily
maybe not 10 years from now, maybe not even 20, but it's going to still be there.
And there's alternatives. We look at USA Parkway. That's going to be in existence. We could connect the USA Parkway through 50, Six Mile Canyon. Also, Stagecoach is planning to put a very large business loop through the entire valley. Not tomorrow, but in the next 10, 20 years. We might connect into that business loop and wrap around that way. There's other alternatives besides this to get to the north end of the county.
So, but nevertheless, it is a topic that we do need to have some thorough public conversation on. So I don't want it to be a surprise to anybody. It needs to be talked about, and there is no policy developed yet other than what's currently in place, which says it's an important issue to move forward on. But as we adopt our new document, I do want to have, a good, thorough public conversation that has taken place, so that way when we try to codify a policy for the next 20 years, it reflects what we currently want as a county. And there's going to be some strong opinions all over the board on this.
We can develop some routes that we are going to be more comfortable with if they have to happen.
Yeah.
So I think now is the time. Anybody else have any comments?
I just want to say something very simple. I noticed this agenda is only posted here in the Highlands down at the firehouse. Virginia City has a post office, the RV park, all sorts of places. Why can't we post one out here where people get their mail?
We do, but there's topics of discussion in the area today. I'll take note of that. That's not an issue. We can take note of that. Okay. And I think that's the next.
Yeah, let's try to do that.
In fact, that's
Nicole, you're in for that, aren't you?
Okay.
Yeah,
you
need
to contact
Charlie.
She hosts the
Virginia
City. The 1 acre up there.
Okay.
Not very much. Even if it was posted at the mailboxes, it doesn't exactly say what we're talking about tonight. But as far as the master plan, I mean, we can't list every little thing. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe we should do a kind of a press release that says that this is what we're doing in the master plan. You know, kind of maybe have an explanation for the newspaper.
Posting it on the message board is very important.
They are. All these are posted, including this.
No, I'm talking about on the message board.
On the e-blogs? Yeah. These are all on the e-blogs. Right there in your blog. Yeah. The blog, one of those pops up, Planning Commission Agenda.
Oh, yeah,
right there. Yeah, that's true.
All right, what I'm going to do, because we're approaching 7:30-ish, and I try to tell the public, I try to bring them in for a landing about now, not, unless you want to talk more, but I know that you all have things to do, and I'm not going to encourage people to come back if we go wee hours, and then you end up having to go to bed late. I was going to go through the other areas just to give you a little bit of a taste of what we're looking at for all the community, and then accept any more comments that you might have, if you're lucky. I'm going to start then with the red area again, 2 and 3. This master plan identifies that the petroglyphs need to be protected, that the county should look at funding, working with the Forest Service, working with the state, working with state lands, whatever funding sources we can get to potentially make that an actual supervised type of place where a forest ranger would actually live there on site and man that first thing all the time. And with that, maybe we can invite more people down there. I'm not going to put the petroglyphs in the documents. I would rather one less map going to that, I think is better. And there may be even federal law that says you shouldn't put or can't put maps to that in a public document that is from a county for that reason. Huh? We'll open it up. But it needs to be in there. And that directs us to look for that funding and look for those options. That area is probably going to end up looking so far, unless I hear different, is to maintain existing zoning, maintain industrial where it is, maintain forestry and open space where it is, and continue the Sunny Hills to be as it is, a 40-acre subdivision with 40-acre parcels, and that is probably going to be the Sunny Hills area, and we will continue to discuss east-west connectors and north-south connectors. I'm going to go to the red area to the north, Lockwood Mustang. And if you haven't been there, there's a subdivision. There's about 1,500 people that live there. There's a high density subdivision called Rainbow Bend. It's very high density. And it's right next to the LCC Mobile Home Park that's a historic use down there. And also it's surrounded by light industrial uses, commercial uses, and kind of small manufacturing, mom-and-pop kind of industry. And it appears that that community wants to maintain that pattern. They want to keep becoming that. And our zoning now requires that any kind of a community of planning and development must have a commercial and a light industrial component, like a downtown environment. And that community, which is Brett's community, is becoming more of a town with some of the zone changes that have come. That area right underneath the 4 is also the location of the Lockwood Regional Landfill. We bring in, it is upwards of 200 billion tons of trash from 10 counties in the state of California and all over the state of Nevada to that facility, and Story County gets 5% of all the net proceeds from that facility for all the tonnage of trash that comes across the scales as part of our tax dollars. from that facility. We want to protect the facility, but we also want to protect the residences that are in that area from the facility and make sure that it expands the right directions and does what it needs to do to expand but not impact and encroach into other uses.
Well, Lockwood's tied in with waste management. We run the purple pipe system from our sewer plant up there, and that's one of the reasons that we group together with waste management in our area.
And Brett's community, you guys do have a general improvement district
that
runs all your
water.
Yes,
we do. And we are real efficient. We do a trade-off deal with giving them the purple pipe water. They take our solid waste for free. We probably have the most efficient GID in the state.
It's really well run. And it's all run by the county. Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, we've been doing a good job. We got $4.6 million in grants back when there was grant money. And so we're 85% granted in for our sewer and water. It's all up to date right there by the river. So.
And if we ever look at, or you ever look at, the potential of a GID in this area, Lock would be a great resource to look at what works and what doesn't work. So going away from Lockwood Mustang is to McCarran. We all know the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center is McCarran. Where it says McCarran and where the 5 is really currently the concentration of industry. And we have Walmart and PetSmart, and we make machine guns out there and dog food, and we make all the cans for your tomato soup. And we have, all your fish are out there. And, I mean, anything you can possibly imagine is out there.
Is there a bank there?
There is not a bank. But, we do have a Subway in this county. We have a Porta Subs in this county. We also have another little restaurant in this county. People don't realize that. We have a gas station out there, Golden Gate Petroleum. And where you get your gas, which is a truck stop, they actually make the fuel right down the street. And they bring in all this nasty, worthless crap all of oil and junk from the Bay Area. They bring it to this plant. They call it cracking. They actually separate the fuels into an efficient fuel, and they sell it right there on site, as well as all your other Golden Gate Petroleum gas stations in the area. So that is that's kind of a nice use. If you ever go there, you're supporting Story County. And almost as many dollars come out of that truck stop is all of Virginia City and sales tax dollars. That's how much activity is going on at that little gas station right there. I don't think I need to discuss McCarran a lot because it's really the slated industrial park for the county. It's the only reason we're Story County today. We would have been merged into Washoe County and our neighboring counties a long time ago in about the early 2000s. We couldn't pay the bills. Yep. And this is the community that generates most of the tax dollars for the entire county. And most of those tax dollars go right to your fire and your sheriff's services and your courts and your jails and all those sorts of things. And then the remaining portions go toward your infrastructure, meaning your roads and your lights and things like that. But the lion's share is really your fire EMS and your court services for all those tax dollars generated from there, as well as this community. Rolling right over to number 6 is Painted Rocks. In 2006, there was a planned unit development, mixed-use community approved by the Planning Commission and the Board of 3,400 homes, and it was going to be a mixed-use kind of a planned unit community. This is something that the master plan identifies as Story County's needed alternative for large-scale housing because we realize there is a heavy need for price center, and this is the area that the county has already accepted and that we believe the current direction should be to create that kind of a community mixed with housing and commercial and light industry so that commercial light industry offsets the cost of the housing for that community. And it'll serve right into Tri-Center. Northeast, only thing to watch out in that area is Fernley is growing right into that area, and there's going to start becoming pressure from the Lyon County and the city of Fernley to try to put planned unit developments in that area. It would be devastating to us because it's extremely remote and it would take amazing amount of travel time for fire, EMS, cops, and things like that to go out there and service that area. The master plan says you should be left vacant. Maybe look at mining and things like that out in that area, but not any kind of development. Rolling down to Mark Twain, two places, Mark Twain Estates, which is similar to the Highlands, mostly modular kind of homes, but large parcels, is to maintain that. Water, roads, motorcycles and impacts and mining and adjacent uses, very similar to this community, almost mirrors this community with their concerns. And then the area where 8 is, where it says Mark Twain, we are looking at that area's potential for light industry, looking at that area's potential for open spaces, But one of the most important things is right underneath the star is the basalite mine. It's officially called A-Hole Mountain. It was changed from ASS Hole Mountain. But that's what it used to look like if anybody's been here for 20 years or more. It doesn't anymore. They have cleaned it out. So that, that area there needs to be protected from residential to make sure that you don't have a NIMBY situation where I just moved here and I want to shut down the mine that's been there for almost 90 years. And then I could talk about Gold Hill and Virginia City, but I think we know what goes on there. We're just looking at taking historic densities, historic uses, particularly in the downtown environment, and really complementing those with a little bit more roof uses and zoning and tourism and that kind of thing for that area.
Yes, sir. Clay.
Clay Mitchell, Virginia City. I don't know if I've spoken to this already, but if not, I want to go on the record as being strongly in favor in this new master plan of continuing a preference towards Painted Rock being the potential outlet for growth if we have to do that. I think it's the appropriate place to do that. Not a must shall, but if it needs to be, then that's the best place to do it. Because I know there's some pressure, is there not? Some pressure for us to absorb some of the housing growth in the region.
Tremendous pressure.
So, if I understand it correctly, having that designated to some extent alleviates the other pressure that we feel in other parts of the county.
Think of what a judge might look at. Story County doesn't want a single house. And then Sunny Hills comes in. The judge may say, you know what, you're going to take some houses. I'm approving it. Or the judge may look at a master plan and says, we don't want any houses right there. We have another plan for houses, and we do want some houses. The judge may say, you know what, there's an alternative that's been publicly workshopped. I'm going to go ahead and deny Sunny Hills and allow them to build and pay the rent. Yes.
Good. I think it's crucial. I think it's a crucial mechanism for us to be able to accomplish some of the other goals we have.
You always want an alternative.
And the proximity of Painted Rock is perfect for the industrial park. We can keep people off of I-80, and that's a huge concern for us. Oh, by the way, a little announcement. They're working on the off-ramp in Lockwood.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're expanding out the end dock down there. That's how the engineer's down there. Not going to be the death trap.
They have from here to that pickup to get on from 0 miles an hour.
It's unbelievably crazy. It is crazy. And we have seniors in our community. I don't understand how no one gets killed every day.
At this point, I don't have anything more to say. There's a lot to talk about, but I welcome anybody to contact me individually, email, whatever it is. Very simple email. They're just as much of a comment as a big fancy letter. Just keep in contact with me, and then we'll have these workshops again, and I will throw the little matzo ball out long before the meeting instead of before the meeting, but maybe close enough to get everyone riled up and not let the energy down.
Well, I've got to say something. The Highlands, we have had the most turnout for public comment of any of our meetings, and thank you guys for showing up. I really appreciate the numbers here.
Even though
Austin had to be scared by it.
There is zoning. I don't know if you guys are interested in the zoning, but mostly we're just doing some wrap-up with the zoning. If you want to stay for that, you're welcome to, but I didn't plan on talking a lot about it because we have been workshopping it very heavily the last year.
Really, but I'm so happy to see all of you. And we're all available.
Thank you all for coming.
Okay, are we done? Does anybody else have any comments?
I want to say thank you. You did a great job. A lot of hard work.
And take care, you guys.
And Jason, by the way, is a transportation engineer for MnDOT. He has really taken lead on anything transportation related. I've been real happy with him. A lot of fun getting everything moving along and the highways and all that. And so,
we're saying it's
humor and transportation planning.
One other thing not related to what you're saying. I brought flyers for the Community Awareness Day, but if we're here, we probably all know about it. So Gwen Buck had me bring some.
I'll just take a couple.
I have
some
in this.
Thank you very much.
And where's the meeting going to be held?
I don't know. I just printed them.
So do you need to visit number 7 on your website?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move to the next item.
And I've read this about 30 times.
Remember, you don't have to read the whole thing.
This is chapter 17.12, general provisions, and we're talking about amateur radio structures, placement of accessory dwellings, general provisions for commercial residential, industrial, I-1, 2, and 3 zones. Also, what else is in here? Row houses, I know, huh? Or no, it's in there.
Yeah,
row houses in this one. And that's pretty much everything.
Okay. And, Commissioner, can I also ask that here number 8 concurrently?
Yeah. And that...
That has the row
houses. That has the row houses, and we're talking about the dogs and pigs.
Yeah.
And reducing the setbacks from residential structures.
Okay. I'm going to be very brief on this, unless anyone wants to talk about anything specifically. In 2012, we did a comprehensive update of all of our zoning ordinance. We went through 18 months of workshops with that. We got a very strong and very well-written zoning ordinance. Like anything, we've gone through and tested it for a couple of years, and there's some adjustments that need to be made, and a little bit of polishing and working the bugs out. So really, we're not making any major changes to zoning. The most major changes that are occurring are going to be in Virginia City. They're reducing setbacks for residential structures in the commercial residential zone to be consistent with other zero setback uses. They're creating kind of a downtown development district or a development area where we have a little bit higher density of motels and commercial uses. The Highlands really is not changing much, except what you guys just saw in the very first item is mother-in-law quarters will require a special use permit, and they will require the affidavit that says this is my family member, it's not just somebody off the streets. And then we're also looking at accessory structures like barns and garages and things like that, loosening up a little bit of the regulations so somebody can configure them differently, but not necessarily making them any bigger than they're currently allowed. There isn't a lot of earth-shaking going on out here. But I did want to just hit on the ones that I identified through the whole thing. There's about half a dozen that I thought were of most interest to this community, and we can talk about them if you like. And they're going to go very quickly unless I'm slowed down and you don't want to talk about them. I heard antennas. As soon as antennas come up, ears perk. So all I want you to know is the new zoning, like the old zoning, requires any amateur radio antenna, any commercial radio antenna, cell phone, ham radio. If you're over 45 feet, you need a special use permit from the commission to go through the whole public process. It's the same. It's remaining the same. It's not changing. The monopine that we have out there went through the full public process. Tom Terramina went through the public process. This is going to be the same regulation as before. Nothing's changing. Accessory uses, meaning your little barns and your big barns and things that are in addition to your house. Essentially, there's going to be some square footage modifications and some little adjustments in the estate zone as well as the other zone, but nothing really earth-shattering. An example of what it might be is right now you can't have a barn within 6 feet of your existing house. It's kind of a silly regulation because the fire department doesn't care. So now you're allowed to have it closer to your house. It's that kind of stuff, as long as it complies with building code. Maximum square footage for accessory buildings, that big barn, I will read this verbatim, is 4,000 square feet total. Currently, it's 4,000 square feet total. But now the second floor exterior walls must be offset from the first floor exterior walls by at least 10% on at least two sides. So you don't just get one big gymnasium-looking block out on a one-acre parcel. Now you've got to kind of key it in a little bit and put some roof lines, at least to make it look consistent with the area. And then the architectural committee of your HOA takes over from there.
Hold on, everybody. Here we go.
It's time to produce. Going a little bit further, and we are going to see here. Okay, I put another note. Public utility uses. There are currently no regulations if NV Energy wanted to put high voltage power lines through the communities. There may not be enough regulations in place to prevent that from happening. NRS, the Nevada Revised Statute for Change, counties must establish utility corridors in its master plan, and then inside those corridors, you do whatever you want, and then outside the corridors, you get a special use permit, go through the full public process, and it can be denied, et cetera, et cetera. The zoning will say, inside utility corridors, you must get, you are allowed to do whatever you want with high voltage transmission lines, the big, big ones. Outside the corridors, which would be the Highlands and all of our living communities, you would have to go through the full public process for those uses and then determine case by case. A public utility corridor in the master plan will very likely be USA Parkway going north-south, and it'll likely be along the river where the existing high voltage transmission lines going east to west are, and nothing else, and the power plant. So those would be the areas where you can go.
Why don't you put it through, Sunny Hills?
we can put one there too.
I like it.
There are.
That's actually a good idea.
Out here too. Here's your Russell. We got to look at that. We will, in the master plan process, we will be going over maps, showing them, and then we will be talking about those maps in public workshops. Do you want them, don't you want them, all that. But the ones they described are the biggies. Those are our main arteries, industrial kind of areas. And there could be another one here or there. And I'm trying to align them with what the BLM is doing on their lands, and what Lyon County is doing, and what Washoe County is doing, so everything kind of makes sense.
Now, I might add that the utility quarters have to match up with the quarters of the other counties.
Yeah.
You mean you can't have a utility quarter? Like a bridge to Alaska or bridge to Delaware?
Yeah. Absolutely right. Those are the big items for the Highlands. You're not going to see a lot of changes out here. It's pretty much the same thing. Virginia City, commercial residential zones, these are the biggies. Microbreweries are allowed. There's nothing else discussed. Well, we have a winery that wants to come in. Hope we can get this thing done so we can get him in and get him operational. Micro distilleries, vodka, things like that in Virginia City. We would like to see those uses. They can blow up. So we would like to go through the special use permit on those to make sure they're done safely. Residential setbacks. Main thing is allowing 0-foot residential setback along C Street to be consistent with other uses. And the other one is off-site parking, maybe allowing certain commercial businesses or motels and hotels that are historic businesses to allow off-street parking, in other words, a parking lot somewhere instead of being on-site. And then a variance for hotel density and dealing with mother-in-law quarters in the commercial residential areas. Those are the bigger shattering zoning things that are going on. The rest of it has already changed. I do not want to ask for action tonight because I wanted this to be the last workshop to talk about it once again. And so there's no action. Before we close it, if there is a document in front of you, it's all of the definitions in the zoning ordinance. I took out all the definitions, we're not changing, and just gave you the definitions we are changing. So you can go through those definitions between now and the next meeting and make sure you're comfortable with the definitions of uses.
Homework, huh?
They are very exciting definitions, I will tell you. They are very good. But I am going to ask the Planning Commission if you're comfortable for this to be the last workshop. The next meeting, there will be more opportunity for discussion and changes, but I'm very likely to ask for action on the zoning only at the next meeting. And not the master plan, just the zoning.
Does anybody have any problems with that?
No. It's been thoroughly discussed.
I thank all of you for accepting all my hundreds of emails. It's not hundreds, but it's enough. I've probably got more emails from me in the last 3 years than in the last 30 years. But thank you all for those. Thank you for your time and for all of your time in going and participating in these things.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to move to the next item.
We're now in housekeeping.
Claims? Or no, we need a determination of next Planning Commission meeting. And that's going to be
August 20th in Virginia City and Courthouse.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that the next Planning Commission meeting, this is Jim Hindle, be planned for August 20th at 6 p.m. at Story County Courthouse in Virginia City.
Council Smith, I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, next item, claims?
No claims.
Correspondence?
No correspondence.
Public comment? Come on, last chance, you guys.
Come on.
Thank you for everybody showing up.
Okay.
No commercial.
Staff.
I wanted to throw a comment out, Jason Van Abel, that with the master plan workshops, they've been generally focused on the land use. Next meeting, we're going to throw in some text for transportation and housing. So those items are coming.
Okay.
That'll be almost two-thirds of the master plan.
Anything else from staff?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, well, I know you're going to hear me talk more. I'll keep it short. State Route 342 down in Gold Hill, you know where the road is with the mine and all that. Comstock Mining did get what they call a nationwide 27 permit. That means from the Army Corps of Engineers, they are free and clear to move forward on restoring the phase two part of the road, the straight part. And so you've seen that they've excavated all that dig, you know, that 40-foot hole along the side. That's done. Now they're going to start backfilling it just like they did on phase one. And they do believe right at around the end of the year, in the next couple months, they're going to start the same thing. You'll see with our paving and striping and opening, and then they'll abandon that funky S shape that we have there now. So that is moving forward. In with Comstock Mining, they did get their validation from the county commissioners that their next modification of their operating plan, not special use permit, does conform to the special use. They are moving underground, and they are getting all their permitting right now. I'm getting flooded with NDEP permits from all their drilling and water, and they have to amend everything to go do that. But they are moving forward on that. The next thing, the weed abatement process. The moon suits are out spraying right now in Seven Mile Canyon. That process is moving forward. Everything is moving along. Thank you, commissioners, for approving that MOU.
Austin, I have a question.
Yes.
Every year they spray those white tops of 6 Mile and 7 Mile, and what does the spraying do? It seems like they just come right back to where they were.
It used to be nothing but white top. It was inundated. Now the white top is sporadic here and there, and they have to just continue doing spot sprays. They used to have to douse the area with chemicals.
Well, and we have an area where you can actually appreciably get rid of it, and because we're starting at the top.
Yeah.
And if you don't start at the top, see, like in the Truckee River, we're not starting at the top anyplace. So doing stuff downstream is almost futile. But we have an area here where we can actually get a handle on it. So that's why we're focusing here, because in other areas, you just really can't get a handle on it.
And it'll never be perfect. Seeds come from everything, from horses, from people, from tires, from shoes, from whatever. It'll never be perfect, but instead of having to do the amount of work we did before, now it's just kind of maintenance.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a lot later. Yeah.
Jack McGuckey, when you drove up, did you notice all the white top in the highlands now along Lowstown?
Lowstown, yeah.
Is it?
I didn't see it. I'm sorry, what's white?
Dan Cart.
Right, it's all the weeds about this tall with the white flowers. Okay.
It monocultures and kills everything else around it.
There's round ditches anywhere where there's water.
It has 12-foot tap roots. It's terrible for erosion around water sources.
When you're driving through Double Diamond Ranch and Reno, all that, and you see that this concept, you know, looks like cotton, that's white top, all of it. Nothing else will grow there. Until
it's actually a floral arrangement that got out in the wild with baby's breath.
Yeah.
Is that making me sneeze?
I wish. I do want you to know, we had talked about going collaboratively with the Comstock Historic District on updating our sign ordinance. I had a workshop down there. In fact, Jason and I were both down there on Monday the 13th, this Monday, and the Comstock Historic District has dedicated a committee that will work with us, and they can do it outside of their official capacity. And so we'll collaborate with them in updating some of the key components of our sign ordinance in Virginia City. And they're very happy, and they totally understand the direction we're taking, where we're not going.
Right.
And then ultimately, and Jason has agreed, he'd like to take lead on this. It's a great project, and work with all of these, your board and their board, and then the public.
Okay,
and
great.
Going through that.
Really good.
Last but not least, flooding in Mark Twain. If you've been heard, you know, there's these little spot storms. There's been significant flooding in the Mark Twain area. Quite a bit of yard damage and scraping of people's properties. Some skirting on mobile homes was affected, but no houses were knocked off their foundations. We thought there were a few, but there weren't. But the county is taking a proactive approach and looking at addressing drainages and street right-of-ways and culverts to maybe create some improvements in that area and working with the local community.
Meanwhile, in the master plan, we hopefully will look at, you know, possible alternative ways of addressing area-wide.
So this is more recent than the last time Laura talked about it, right?
Both. So you got it three times.
Oh, okay.
Great. Like again and again and again. And each time was a little bit different. It's all local, but it's alluvial-type flooding. It just comes washing right down, you know, through people's yards. And I couldn't understand someone's angst when their whole yard is out in the street, you know, and their place looks terrible. So we're working on that and working on some alternatives for that. I could go on and on, but I'm done.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Austin.
I can't believe what's going on there.
The cell tower,
there's a blurb in the paper that they're negotiating with potential carriers. Has anything changed relative to that?
I'm not aware of any changes. I know T-Mobile and Verizon are the ones. Jason did look at the fiscal years, and if you want to kick in a little bit.
Yeah, I talked with the cell tower owner, and he said that at this point the most promising potential contract would be Verizon, that he expects to get an agreement in place with Verizon their next year. So their fiscal year is the calendar year, so I guess the most promising time would be just after the first of the year. Another possibility is T-Mobile. He's in conversations with them, but hasn't had as much positive feedback. AT&T at this point is not looking to add any capacity at all, so at this point, unless AT&T changes their policy, that's a no. And then Sprint has no budget. They're open to the idea, but they've got no budget for it. But they're looking to do something where it's going to be a big national push to add capacity. So if Sprint makes that policy decision, then Sprint's a definite possibility as well.
Thank you.
I thought Pat Whitten, our county manager, we discussed it not too long ago. He thought Verizon's year was September. It was T-Mobile that was the first of the year.
I looked at Verizon's. I didn't look at T-Mobile's, but Verizon's, I definitely did verify that their fiscal year is the calendar year.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Board comments? Anyone?
I just want to thank Austin and all our staff. You guys have done a great job. And thank all of you for coming. It's really important. Every meeting is like this. It's fun.
Okay, develop a couple more hand grenades to throw out there for the next
round.
Yeah.
Russians,
I don't mind you saying
okay, this meeting is
adjourned. Thank you.
Submarine house.